not going to be disappointed today. Amen.
Sorry, somebody handed me the microphone.
Lord dropped a message in my heart, and
they were supposed to.
And I'm really thankful
else,
for.
But it's okay.
His
Amen.
Faithfulness. Praise
I
the Lord.
I would like to acknowledge our
if
sister.
The Lord never preserves
our
any one
fine,
of us. We would
she's
never
in the house
here.
For after something we've never seen.
If
since
the Lord
gave,
never ordains things
a gift to
and
us.
Orchestrates.
Praise the Lord.
Things in our lives, we would
you
never make
can you
it.
Come here? Can you come here and say
and
hi
you know,
to
I
us?
Was just thinking about this.
How many of you appreciate and love Sister Fine?
But the God who is so
Amen.
Articulate in the way he does
Amen.
His things.
Good to see you.
You know, he placed the objects of the elements that we know.
Praise God.
And they operate so perfectly without any error.
And good to see you.
I was wondering whether it would be possible
for
such a God to put those objects of the elements to operate so articulately and fail to order your life. Praise the Lord.
Love you all.
And I was really being spoken
Amen.
To by the Holy Spirit to
Thank
tell
you,
me
it's good to have you in the house.
That nothing
do we have any other
that takes place
right now,
in a child
I
of
think
God.
I can take this opportunity to
that is that comes by error
arrival.
Or by any accident.
Some visitors, people I've never
whether
seen before,
there be situations, Sunday, whether there be sickness, whether there be
Sunday,
other things that sometimes are yeah. hard to understand as human beings. Nothing takes God by surprise because the way he designs the whole earth and the way he designs the elements that we see, the universe. If he is so articulate in the way he designs those things, how much more do you think that he designs, he has designed your life? And that nothing takes you by surprise, even in spite of circumstances that sometimes are so difficult for us even to comprehend or to understand why they have come into our lives. But surely,
this is my
nothing
this
really
my
takes
son.
God by surprise.
Daughter,
somebody say amen.
My sister. Maybe they're gonna say.
Your life is not a mistake. Your life is not by
my
any
name
accident.
Is Jeff.
I've had people who are born out of wedlock,
you know,
outside marriage, and they end up, becoming great. Like we have an example of our President Barack Obama.
Praise the Lord.
He was born outside
and
what they call a traditional
Nyambura
marriage.
Minor. And I love the Lord with all my heart.
That would really convince us that no one is
I'm
a mistake.
I'm so glad to be here. We
and as long as God has
sure
paved a way for
here,
you to show up on this
GPS.
Planet, there is
so
a purpose for
you
your life,
here,
regardless
you
of your background,
end,
regardless
like,
of where
wow,
you have come
I
from, regardless of what
there.
People may have labeled
and
you,
are not sure
you have
in the
a
right
purpose
place
in this life.
And
I believe so strongly that the whole journey of a human being is to determine what that purpose. If we can all find out what my purpose is for this earth, then I think we would come to a place of rest, a place of comfort, knowing that if I would pursue this, then the whole agenda of what I am here for would be accomplished. Praise be to God. Praise the Lord. And last night I was just thinking of when I
How
was thinking about
really
all this, and I was
sit
wondering,
on the table to,
really,
to,
really, really, surely,
to dine
what
with
would
the Lord.
Happen if God would give the same capability that he has given to us as human beings to the animals of the fields, like to the cows, so that they would have the same intelligence that we have today, and they'll be able to reason. And to say, oh, you know what, these human beings have really toughened up on us, so we have to also regroup and come against them. What if the cows or the beasts of the fields, like the lions, you know, would have the same capability that we would have, and so that they would regroup and say, enough with the human beings, we are going to revolt against what they have declared against us as wild animals, and we're also going to set up a whole animal kingdom with our own authority, with our own kingdom, and what forth and what forth. But God, in his design, he only put them, every creature that he created, he put a certain limit to where they would operate. Praise the Lord. And he created us higher than all those other creatures. The matter of fact, the Bible says that we have been created in the image and in the likeness of God. But even though we have been created in the image and in the likeness of God, God has put parameters through which we can only operate. There are certain realms, whether we like it or not, with our own strength, we can never operate. No matter how you would want, no matter how hard you'd work, you can never operate beyond those parameters. In other words, God has set some boundaries. But our livelihood is not only constrained within that operation. In other words, our livelihood or in other words, our operation or the things that we are supposed to do throughout our lives is not only constrained within the things that we are supposed to do within our boundaries. It doesn't matter whether you have how many degrees. It doesn't matter what university you've gone through. Every single one of us has been set to operate under certain limitations. Praise the Lord. And the Lord kind of set a boundary, and he said, beyond these boundaries, you can never operate by yourself. And even to make even matters better, the strength that the Lord has given you and the capability that the Lord has given each one of us to operate within those boundaries belong to him. So even as we operate within those boundaries, we really have to trust and to look upon God to give us everyday strength to operate within those boundaries. Hallelujah. This is going to be good in a minute. Praise the Lord. I want us to read the book of John, and I want us to read it pretty quick because it's a long text. John 11. If everyone have your Bible, can you say amen? If you don't have your Bible, say amen as well, because we have offered a Bible there that you will be able to read. Praise the Lord. John 11. This is about a death of one of the friends of Jesus. His name is Lazarus. And so we'll read pretty quick because I want us to read. So we'll go very, very fast so that for some of you can refresh your memories about what you know about this portion of the scripture. And this is what the Bible says, John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." And I would like everybody to underline there, if you permit yourself to underline on your Bible so that we can reference to it later. So, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Now, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Verse number 8, the disciples say to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you. And are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." Verse number 10, "But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said after he had said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Verse 14, "Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I'm not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.'" Verse 16, "Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go also.'" I'm so sorry, this is so funny. "'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" Underline that on your Bible too. Now, verse 17, this is one of the most profound portions of the scripture that Jesus speaks, and I really love it. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Somebody say 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary was sitting in the house, probably mourning his belated brother. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Praise the Lord. Jesus says, verse 25, please underline that if you can. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said this, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Verse 34. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. When Jesus found that he found the people weeping, he was moved with compassion, even though he knew what he was just about to do. And this is exactly what Jesus also does in our cases when we are desperate and we are really mourning and we are sorrowful. Jesus sorrows with us. Praise the Lord. Then the Jews said, how? See how he loved him? And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? 38, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away this stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. Somebody say stench. By this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Father God, this text you gave it to me, Lord, and you laid in my spirit to deliver it to us. Use my mouth as an instrument of honor, Father God, to speak your oracles, Lord. Father, I pray that I may not be seen in this, but you be seen, O Lord. Be glorified in the lives of each and every one of us in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I began to tell you about how God has placed some parameters in our thinking, in the way we view things, there are certain things that we are not able to accomplish. And God did that for a reason. Praise the Lord. He did that for a reason. And the reason is this. If everything would just go by a slap of a finger, tapping of a finger, you know, we speak, oh, I need some milk, and I need some food, I need some grocery, I need some this and that, I need the other thing done, you know. If we would just speak these things into existence, how many of you know that we would never need God? And that's why it is very, very difficult. The Bible says that it is so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Why did Jesus say this? Now, Jesus said this because there is a sense of of self-sustaining power that comes to a person who seems to think that he has it all together. For the rich people who have money and they can buy whatever they need at any given time without any worry, without any credit, for you, it is harder for us to convince these people about the provision of God. And that's why we have so many people, even in America, who are millionaires, who do not even seem to have even the need of God. In fact, I read through an article another day, somebody saying, why do I need God? If I need money, I can go buy me a car. If I need whatever I need, I have financial capability to go into any store to buy whatever I would need. And you know what? It underestimates the reason why God exists. God is not just there to provide for our daily needs. God exists in the universe or in the world. God exists in the whole. God exists because he exists. You know? He doesn't exist so that he can provide for us. Praise the Lord. And that's why we worship God. There is a difference between praise and worship. You praise God. You praise somebody for the things that they do for you, right? If my wife makes me a good meal, I would come to my wife and tell my baby, that food was, it was great. And my wife will feel so encouraged. And the next time she goes into the kitchen, she will do it all the more, the better for me because she received praise for me. We praise God for the things that he has done for us. Praise the Lord. When God meets your daily obligations, when he protects you at the end of the day, then you come, you seclude yourself to a corner and you're able to lift up your hands and praise God for the things that he has done. But worship is different. Now, we worship God in spite of the things that he has done for us. Worship is when you come to God and you're kneeling down before the Lord and you may not even have food, you may not have money in your bank, you may not have even anything going about in your life, but just because of who God is, you lift up your hands and worship him because of who he is. So God does not exist because of the things that he can do for us. He exists so that we may primarily outthink that so that we may worship him. The reason why he created you and me is so that we may have fellowship with him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we worship God because not of the things that he has done for us. We worship him because of who he is. The next time you go to worship and praise, recognize the difference because God is blessed by either of those experiences. And he is really glad when you come to him praising him for the things that he has done. Amen. He is also glad when he sees your unadulterated heart that is pure and without that is pure and is just approaching him, not because of the things that he has done for you, not because of the favor that you're experiencing at this present time, not because of the lack that you have, but you're openly coming to him to worship him because of who he is. God loves that kind of worship. Are you listening to me, church? Praise be to God. And so, as I was telling you, everything that we operate, we cannot operate even within the parameters that God has put within our boundaries, the things that we are supposed to do, the things that we are supposed to operate within. You know, there are certain things, capabilities that God has given in your life. You know, for example, he has given you the ability to, you know, to think that you need to go to work and you to provide for your family. He has given you the capability to know that when he has given you a child, you need to take care of them, right? And so when a child comes, you don't need really pray so hard and praying tongues for the Lord to show you how to take care of your child. These things the Lord has given within your ability to know how to take care of your children. But even in the taking care of those children, you need to trust God to help you take care of those children. Are we together up to this point? Okay? Now, it so happens that sometimes I can come home and I'm thinking about my son, maybe Joshua, and I buy him a cookie, okay? And I buy everybody a cookie and I give Joshua a cookie. How many of you have ever tried this? You give a child a cookie and that cookie, you went to work, got some money and you bought that cookie and brought that cookie and gave it to your son. And when you ask them, can you give me a piece? How many of you have seen those children really retract back and they say, no. This is my cookie. And actually, if you really try to force them to get that cookie back, then you start crying. And how many of you know that it is the same with us with God? God has given us everything within our abilities, provided for us, and given us everything, even the... Do you know, let me tell you, church. The fact that you have a right mind, that is a gift from the Lord. Yeah? The fact that you can sit together with your family, with your kids, and talk about having the right conversation and having peace in the home. Do you know that is a gift from the Lord? There's so many things we take as crege, you know, or, you know, we take it for granted. We think that, oh, you know what, for us, we can sit down with my family and talk about these things. Do you know how many people in America today, they may have the financial power together, but they cannot even see eye to eye with each other? Huh? So when the Lord really asks you the peace that I have given you, can you redistribute it to somebody who has? Do not be like that child who says, oh, this is my cookie. I cannot give it out away. I am not really going to open up to anybody so that I can distribute this peace. For your information, the people that don't have any peace, the people that don't have any joy, the people that don't have any encouragement, really depend upon the church. They depend upon us. The Bible says that the sons of God are waiting for the manifestations of, the people of the world are waiting for the manifestations of the what? The sons of God. When are we going to be manifested in the situations that we have in the world today so that we can offer that which the Lord has deposited in our lives? There is a crying neighbor next to your home, and they've been going through turmoils and situations that you know you may not really understand. And they're crying out. And the Bible says they are waiting for the manifestation of that son of God. And you are the son or the daughter of God. Somebody say amen. Amen? Let us reach out because you have something unique that the world doesn't have. Amen? Are you listening to me, church? I'm still building myself, so don't think that I'm losing you. You're not lost. Amen. We come to appreciate, every human being comes to appreciate whether they are let me put it this way. Whether somebody proclaims themselves as an atheist, you know who an atheist is? It is somebody who doesn't have a belief in God. Now, whether they proclaim themselves as atheist or not, the beauty of creation speaks about of a super intelligent power. Whether they may reveal it or not, deep inside their hearts, if we are to dissect their hearts and really know what is embedded within their hearts, there is a proclamation of a higher super being that created these things. When you look at the mountains, when you look at the flowing rivers, when you look at the rages, when you look at the sky, and when you read about science and you see how things are so measured up and they are working so articulately, there is a witness within the heart of every single being. There is a super intelligent power somewhere. Amen? Now, that is one of the ways that the Lord would reveal His presence into the lives of every human being. Now, I happened to go to the Grand Canyon, I think, last summer. And let me tell you, I've watched the documentary about the Grand Canyon. But you know what? You can never really put the similarity by you being there and witnessing the 3D panoramic view of the Grand Canyon. You know, the descent that is really steep and it's kind of like shaped into a beautifully crafted. You think maybe a big humongous mason came and carved out these stones so articulately, and it's so beautiful. In fact, we were walking by the edges, and it's so steep, and these people have not even put boundaries so that it's not really protected so that you can have a clear view. And as we were walking by, my wife told me, no, I don't think this is a very safe place for us to walk with our children. In other words, it was so articulately beautiful. Man, you look at that, and I said, really, surely, if I never believed that there was a God, that would have been one reason to know that there was a God. So when we look at the elements, the beauty of the elements, when we hear of comets that are coming near Earth, ready to crash to Earth, and the way God has put an atmospheric realm that protects us, so that when comets try to hit the Earth, other planets are bombarded every day. Did you know that? That there are humongous stones and comets that plummet other planets, but on our Earth. The Lord has put a ring, A ring that is almost unimaginable. You cannot even perceive it with your own senses, but it is a ring that is full of whatever oxygen that when comets try to strike the earth, they come and vaporize and melt so that we are not stricken. And nobody can learn about that science and fail to recognize about God. I don't care whether you claim yourself to be an atheist. Oh, thank you for the Grand Canyon up there. Now, this one, it really robs you of the experience. You need to be there to see the actuality of how it is. But nothing really would fail to communicate that there is an intelligent being out there. Are you with me? Now, there is a problem here. That in spite of these objects or the elements that we see, they are not able to communicate. There's no dialogue between those creative powers or objects that we know that can communicate to us about who that super intelligent being is. There's no way. There's no dialogue. And there is need for us to know how we ought to operate beyond the parameters that the Lord has put into our lives. Praise be to God. And therefore, there is a great need for there to be a divine revelation. Somebody say, divine revelation. Now, what is divine revelation? Divine revelation is nothing else than the character of God's, the presence of the character of God, which is diverse, being present in your life and showing you how to articulate certain things in your life. Are you listening to me? There is a necessity in the life of every human being for there to be a divine revelation of the Almighty God in order for him to show us how to charter and how to crisscross through the roadmap that he has set for each and every individual. The elements will never communicate that to us. The things that we see, the mountains, even though we see the humongity and we see the creativity and we see that there's no way these things would have existed without the presence of a super intelligent being, we need to have an opportunity of divine revelation in our lives. Praise be to God. Now, no matter what class you are, no matter who you are, every single one of us, every last one of us, if I am to give you an opportunity to tell me, Steve, about your life, there is something you would point and say, this thing, I have tried and tried, and I don't know what to do about it. It may not have happened. It may have happened, but if it has not happened, it is coming. Every single one of us. It doesn't matter whether you have how many degrees. It doesn't matter what university you have gone to. It doesn't matter what experience you have gone to. God makes sure that every human being has an opportunity to have something that when you look at it and you're looking at it, you almost turn away because you don't know even what to do about it unless God comes to intervene in that situation. I don't care whether that is a super preacher that you know on the television. We've read about Benny Hinn. What happened to Benny Hinn the other day? Some of you would have imagined that he would divorce with his wife? Would you have imagined that? It doesn't matter. Let me tell you, you may have gotten it all together. Your finances are gone okay. You know you have a good relationship with your children, but there's a problem in your marriage. You may have gotten your marriage together, your children are doing okay, but there's a financial problem somewhere. Something somewhere. And if it is not taken place, it is soon coming for your information. And therefore, we, in lieu of that information, it is therefore necessary for us to know what it is to have what I call divine revelation. God wants to come and reveal himself in us and display his character in things that we go into. How is God going to be revealed to us as a healer if we were never sick or somewhere somebody grieved our hearts and we were so stricken we felt like giving up the towel and we felt like walking away? How would God come and heal us? How would we know him as our healer? How would we know God as our deliverer? How would we know God as our provider if we never went through a series of luck in our lives whereby we looked, you looked at every corner and there was nobody to come and supply for you, and you're calling upon Jehovah and you're telling him, oh God, Jehovah, come and provide for me. How would you know him as God, Jehovah, your provider, the Lord who provides for you? Praise the Lord. It is therefore, listen to me, church, it is necessary for each one of us to experience divine revelation. Every situation that has ever taken in your life, whether it be an issue with a child, whether it be a financial situation, whether it be a relationship with your spouse, whether it be a career problem, whether it be people speaking behind your back, it is just a setup for God so that there would be a divine revelation. For God knows that with our own capability, there's no way we can chatter through certain things unless there is a higher power that would come to intervene in our lives. Are you listening to me? Sometimes God would go out of his way to determine to come and bless you financially. And the way he might use, you might think, oh, you know what? I am really going down. But in reality, your eyes might be telling you that you're going down, but heaven says you're going up. Oh, I wish somebody listen. Here's what I'm trying to say. The thing that you're going on right now in your life suggests with every ounce of authority and suggests with every ounce of your knowledge that you're going down. But heaven, when heaven looks at that situation, even though you're going down, heaven says you're going up. I wish somebody grabs that. What I'm trying to say is, your situation might look hopeless for right now. And when you look at it on every other corner, it might look like you're going down. But in reality, heaven says that you're going up. Because that is how God articulates and works with these people. There is an opportunity for divine revelation. In other words, when you're going through a situation and you've been praying, God, I need you to bless me. Expand my territories. Let me tell you what happened to me. I like giving my examples. This one you've never had. So recycled things that I tell you all the time. About 3 years ago, I really prayed and I said, God, I know I'm faithful. And you know the way you pray, you kneel down, you pray, and you're calling upon the name of the Lord day and night. God, I need you to expand my territories. Okay? I need God, you to bless me. And some of you know that I'm in the transportation business. I really wanted to have a desire to have an addition to the truck that I was driving. And I wanted to have, you know, an addition truck. And I called somebody. I told them, hey, Lord, you know what? What can I do? I don't have money. But can you finance me? I had some little bit of money I wanted to put down so that I could buy an extra truck. And I called this guy. And he told me, oh, that's pretty easy. You know, I can help you. Sounds like a good man. And so I filled up everything. It didn't seem like everything was working out. Now listen to this story. Let me tell you guys, I was at the right time, at the right place. At the time when I wanted to buy those trucks, it was the year was really going so bad and so down, so that, you know, the prices of the trucks were all going, the prices had really went down. So that a truck that it cost today $23,000 was only going for $14,000. So I called this guy and told him, oh, you know what, how much truck do you want to buy? I told him, well, probably about $23,000. So he said, well, I can approve you for $25,000. Anyway, cut a long story short, they went and approved for that credit. And I realized when I called the guys where I wanted to go buy the truck, that I would buy two trucks for the price of what they were giving me. And so I went ahead and made a transaction, and I got the two trucks. Now listen, just when I bought this truck, I send it out on an assignment, you know, to send a driver to go pull a load. The first day, somebody say the first day. He didn't even deliver the load. He went and had an accident. Complete wreck. Actually, it was so bad, I said, God, did I really hear from you? So cut a long story short, I called the insurance, and they say, well, unfortunately, you know, there's nothing we can do. That truck is totaled, so we are just going to pay the premium to the insurance company, and that's it. So I said, okay, well, I don't have to lose anything since, I mean, but I feel so bad because, you know, I don't know whether I can get an approval for another loan so that I can get another truck. But anyway, I called these people and I told them, well, the people who had given me the loan, I told them, since I didn't even make any money for on this truck, can you just, and since you've been paid by the insurance company, can you just meet and see whether I can have another truck? And I mean, that was against so many odds, it doesn't even really happen. So the guy called me back and said, okay, we're going to have a committee. And I think there's a possibility since you didn't even, you know, that money never was ever transacted, we can just give you another truck. So I called them. God was in the whole deal. I went ahead and bought another truck. Now, remember there was a truck that was already broken in Arizona. And so I said, I called the insurance company and I told them, this truck that wrecked, can I buy it? You know, so I felt like, you know, how would I lose that truck? I didn't even make money on it. Can I really go ahead and buy it? So the insurance company told me, well, we'll think about it. We'll call you. And so after a few days, they called me. They told me, we'll give you the first opportunity to buy it as is for $5,000. I told them, I don't even have $5,000. I didn't even make money on that truck. So they told me, well, you need to, okay, we'll get together and see what then we need to do. Let me tell you, after 3 days or a few days, I can't remember how many days, a guy called me and told me, we are sending you the logbook, I mean, the title of that truck. You can go pick it, do whatever you want to do with it. So I said, wow, really? So they sent me the title of the truck. And you know, they're supposed, when they send you a truck when it has an accident, they're supposed to include, to say that it is a salvage title. How many of you know that? When you buy a car from the accident or from the junkyard, I mean, no, from the auction, if it was an accident car, they give you a salvage title. Now, these people send me and they say, this truck was not a salvage truck. So pick up I drag my feet all the way to Arizona and I realize that no mechanical damage was sustained on this truck. It was only the peripheral things. You know, the fairing, some of you who have the trucking experience, you know, the plastic things that are on the front? That was the only thing that was damaged. Because it was during the ice and the truck just slid, hit an icy patch, and went and landed on a rock in Arizona. So I said, whoa, okay, this looks like a good thing for me. Anyway, what happened was, while I was still working, my friend's truck broke down, and I think it broke down somewhere in North Carolina, and he had to buy a truck, and this truck had a problem with the motor. So as soon as he removed the motor out, he didn't have any need of the shell, you know, the body of the truck, you know. And that truck that he had bought, you know, to scoop out the motor was exactly like my truck. So he told me, oh, Pastor, you had told me that you needed some parts. You can take this shell and use it to fix your truck. So in other words, the wise me went and took off the parts of that truck, put it on my truck, painted it, and I had a deal, a free truck that the Lord had given me. You see, if I looked at the situation which I was going through, the truck just had an accident right there. And I started mourning, oh God, I never called upon you. I never did this. I would have said, God, why did you direct me into this issue? But sometimes the things that you go through are the route that God will use to bless you. Are you listening to me? You might be having an issue in your marriage. It is just an opportunity for divine revelation. For God to come and show up and say, okay, I know that this man shows himself to be the bulldozer of this house. The moment you confess to the Lord and you invite him into the whole scenario, he will turn everything around for your benefit. An opportunity for divine revelation. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? As I told you, I remember of a man called Elijah. You remember what Elijah did? He did a lot of miracles, right? And Elijah proclaims to the whole Israel that there's not going to be any rain. Listening to me? God moves through Elijah in a mighty way. There was a king, a president of Israel. That time there was a king called Ahab, married to a lady called Jezebel, the first lady of Israel. And the Bible says that there was no other king that was as evil as Ahab, because he introduced Baal worship into Israel. But there was this man called Elijah, the man of God. And he says, as long as I am alive, I cannot stand to see my nation disintegrate like this through the leadership of Ahab. And so he decides that, you know what, I'm going to trust upon my God. And I'm going to declare that there won't be any rain, so that they may know that there is a God. I'm also going to kill 450 prophets of Baal. And the Lord moved with Elijah. Praise the Lord. He moved with him. And as he has done all these things, Elijah is at a position whereby he is experiencing the greatness of his God. I told you, church, it doesn't matter what levels of Christianity you are. Everybody has at one time has an opportunity to go through trouble. And when the first lady heard about what Elijah had done, you know what happened? How many of you know what happened? She says, as long as I am alive, tomorrow by this time, if I will not have killed you, may the gods that I serve do something to me. And let me tell you, the man of God who had experienced greatness, who had experienced the death of these 450 prophets of Baal, he took off running. He went running. And the Bible says, if you read in 1 Kings chapter 19, let me tell you, I was reading this story, I said, oh my God. Elijah. And you know, the Bible, at some point it says, Elijah was just like men like us. Just an equal man like us. So it doesn't matter the experiences that I might have been at a high point, but wait a minute, there's going to come a time whereby I'll need the intervention of Jehovah. Elijah, the men who had just declared war against 450 prophets of Baal, killed them. Imagine, he killed them. And just the first lady who says, as long as I live, tomorrow by this time you're going to be dead. A man who trusts God, he runs. The Bible says he runs in fear. And he comes under a juniper tree. Somebody say a juniper tree. And if you read 1 Kings, the Bible says, Elijah says, oh God, just kill me now. These threats are too much. What are you talking, Elijah? Surely, Elijah. You are telling God to kill you just because of a first lady declaring that she's going to kill you? Because of doing what you are supposed to do? And how many of us know sometimes things happen and you don't even know how to do? You might see people who you think are so great and you might think that they are trouble-proof. You know, you might see a great preacher and you might think that they're resilient against problems and troubles. I'm going to tell you, if you want to find where trouble is, it's those people who you think that never experienced trouble. And so he's under the juniper tree complaining and telling God, this is too much, Lord. Huh? Oh, but he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. Can you imagine a day's journey into the wilderness? He sat down under a broom tree. Other translation says a juniper tree, and prayed that he might die. He said, I've had enough, Lord. Come on, Elijah. After you have had an expenditure of God's grace killing all these evildoers and people who are trying to destroy the nation of Israel, you have come under the juniper tree. Now you're telling God, I've had enough. What enough have you had, Elijah? Huh? I've had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. Kill me. The voice of a woman just said that he was going to kill you. Huh? And then I believe Elijah was tired and he slept. And when he slept, the angel came and tapped him up and told him, Elijah, wake up and eat, because he was hungry. Let me tell you, church, sometimes we might find ourselves running and running and we are stressed about so many things. And when we are tired and when we are hungry and when we are restless and when we don't have even time to do the things that are most important even for our lives, it is very easy at that point even to regard less the things, the experiences that we've had with the Lord. Take an account of your life. Take an inventory every time of your life. It is good to take some time, and I'm speaking to myself too. It is good to take some break and relax in the Lord to have time to reflect of the things that the Lord has done in your life. Because we find an instance here in Elijah. He was so tired and he was so weary. And so a threat from a single woman is able to make him run a day's journey through into the wilderness. In fact, the Bible says, if you read the following verses, that he went under a cave to hide himself. Just because of a threat. May God really help us. Nobody can really exterminate you unless God has given them permission. Remember, nobody has the ability to destroy you until God has given you permission, Sister Joyce. Nobody can even come to interfere with the livelihood of your children unless they have been given permission from the on high God. Are you listening to me? So stop quitting. Quit thinking about somebody who just speaks a word, you know. Oh, these people, they started backbiting me. They started talking about me. Just stop about it. Nothing can they do in your life unless God permits them. Have you been in a situation whereby you had somebody, a very dear friend, maybe talked about some things about your life, and you're so worrisome you couldn't even sleep. You're turning through the bed and you're hallucinating and you're wondering what is going to happen now if they report me to this and this authorities. They might even report me to my place of work. Nobody can even fire you unless God wants to change you to a better position. Are you listening to me? And so Isaiah is in the cave. And the Lord wants to come and reveal himself so great in him. And he says, the Lord wants to show him that I'm still with you, Elijah. And there is a shaking and the rumbling of the mountains. And there's fire on Mount Horeb. You know? Until God whispers to him and God energizes him. An opportunity for divine revelation. Are you listening to me? There's so many characters that we can read about in the Bible. Job, after he had been prosperous, but he is stricken with the disease, and he starts being in a situation whereby he doesn't even understand, and he's cursing the day when he was born, and he being in a situation. Look at Moses. When Moses actually, when he is being given the ability to lead the children of Israel out of their captivity, he is so much full of complications about leading the children of Israel, and he comes to God and says, God, did I conceive these children? Why did you give me the ability to lead these children? Yeah? Why can't you give somebody else? Let me tell you, a time like that will come in your life when you feel like everything is crumbling against you. Are you listening to me? But at that time, God is giving us an opportunity for divine revelation. God wants to come and reveal himself. He wants to reveal, because God is, the Bible says that God is love. God is our healer. God is our provider. So whatever situations you are in that situation so that God can reveal yourself as the opposite side to come and help you so that you can travail through your situation. And so we read about this man, Lazarus. One thing we learn is that the Lord doesn't reveal himself to people who are not his friends. The Bible says, if you read about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Jesus frequented their homes. He was their friend, right? In other words, you'd come have dinner. You know, God, the Bible says that, you know, Bethany was just 2 miles, and Jesus frequented Jerusalem every now and then. So the stop of a place would be like, you know, like if I'm going to McKinney and I know I'm driving my car, I'm going to Keller, I'll pass by Pastor Karanja's because they're my friends, right? If I go to McKinney, I'll pass by Julius's, you know, and I'll go and see what they're doing. If I come by your house, but maybe I have some mission to do in your house, I'll visit by you if I know you're living near, close by. So Jesus was passing, going to Jerusalem many times, and so he had made like a stopover at Mary and Martha. And so he comes here, and he was well acquainted with Lazarus and Mary and Lazarus' sisters, and he comes there, and a situation comes. Lazarus is sick, and you know what? He is bedridden, and the sisters are really calling. They knew him as a master, and they're saying, "Oh, Jesus, please come. The one you love is sick." And Jesus says, "Oh, it takes his time." And he says, "I'm glad for this situation that it has happened, and I'm going to tarry 2 more days. And you know, as the story reads, Jesus comes, he says to his disciples that now we have to go and wake up Lazarus because he is dead. And when he comes the 4th day, he realizes that there's mourning in the whole compound. He was dead 4 days ago. Now this was a very good friend of Lazarus. Why did he hear that Lazarus was sick? Maybe he would have come the 1st day, prayed for him, and he would have recovered. But he comes 4 days after the man had passed over had passed away. He had already been buried, and people are still in the home trying to mourning the loss of Martha and Mary's brother. And so he says to his disciples, at one point he says, I'm glad that that didn't happen when I was with you. Because I know when I show up, I am the divine revelation that they need in order to bring a solution to their problem. And let me tell you guys, how many of you have dreamt, have had a dream or had a vision, and it's, when you look at it, it is already smelling. You had a career choice, and when you try to work on it, it is already dead and stinking. How many of you had a relationship and you're looking at your relationship, maybe with your children or maybe with your spouse, and you're seeing no end, you don't see any end or any solution to that relationship. And in your mind, you've already qualified it as dead. How many of you have ever started maybe a business venture, and when you try to do some connections here, every time it's like you're hitting a wall. Let me tell you, church, it is an opportunity for divine revelation. And even though Jesus tarries and he says, I'm glad that this happened and I was not with you. The Bible says that I am the resurrection and the life. And when he shows up in the situations, everybody's mourning and everybody is blaming Jesus. Just like all we do. God, if you are in this situation, if you really spoke to my wife, we would never be getting into this situation. If God, you spoke to my husband, maybe this relationship would have been solved. If God, you came through for my children, maybe we would never be at this point. God, if you spoke to my boss, maybe I would never have been fired. But those opportunities come because of divine appointments that are necessary for your life. And so Jesus shows up in the situation, and you know the story. And Jesus is really moved, even though he knew exactly what he was going to do. He looks at the whole situation and he says, oh God, I'm so sorry that this happened. And Mary comes and complains, Jesus, if you are here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. My message to us today, let us trust in the Lord. It is not dead until God completely says it is dead. God has the last word on your business. God has the last word on your relationship. God has the last word on your child. Are you listening to me, guy? God has the last word for your marriage. God has the last word for whatever career you are. God, let me tell you, if you can speak a situation in your workplace, if that boss is conspiring with other people to fire you, until God says it is over in that place where you're working, it is never over. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It might look like it is already dead. The deal has already been sealed. They have already signed the signatures. They have already submitted all the paperwork to the HR. And you are ready for dismissal. But God can turn it around. Oh my God. Are you listening to me, church? If only we can trust God. If only we don't give up. If only we know that he is the resurrection and the life. If only we know that he can come and intervene at the 11th hour when everything seems so blink. He can come and cause us to cross beyond our parameters. And that is exactly what happened. When he showed up at that situation, it was so blink, and he said, remove the stone. I hear the Lord saying, remove that stone. You have declared already in your mind that this marriage is over. You have declared that my child is done. I hear the Lord saying, remove the stone. Oh God, I hear that career that you already started and it is stagnated at some point. I hear the Lord saying, remove the stone. It is not dead yet. You may have declared that it is dead, but as long as I am concerned, I am the resurrection and I am the life. You are coming out. In the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? You are coming out in the name of Jesus. Hosea, it doesn't matter the impediments that you're going on. You might be organizing everything for your marriage, and every door that you hit, it is like it is closed. God says it is not over until he says it's over. Are you listening to me? Trust God. If you can stay at it long enough, you will never lose. I've been knocking on doors, on every door, trying to get for a house. See, I put my house in the market, Julius. I put in my house like on a Monday. We put our house on the market on a Monday. I am telling you the truth. In 3 days, somebody had come and bought our house. We didn't even expect it. We didn't even know that it would go. We actually had to tell the people who bought our house to rent the house from them. We're actually renting the house from them. Because we didn't even know. We didn't want to move. We didn't even have that. We had not even started thinking that we would start looking for a house. Let me tell you, that is another miracle of another day. I'm going to tell you what God is doing. God is not a man. We've been trying to knock on doors. We've been trying to apply for mortgages. People look at our documents and they're looking like that. But you know what? If you stay at it long enough, do not declare being dead until God says it's dead. Because you know, when we were at the blink of just almost giving up, God shows up something and see, oh God, he connects us to some other people. Julius knows what I'm talking about because he helped me. Let me tell you, dealing with a mortgage company, every month they say, oh, bring this. The other day, oh, bring your log document. Oh, bring your this. Bring your this. Until I said, oh God, when is it? When are they going to end up telling me, bring this? When you call them, they don't pick up the phone. And I am a busy man. And suddenly somebody came and told me, I want you to call somebody right now. I am telling you the truth. It was 6 o'clock. I called Julius and my wife. We called this guy. And he says, can you submit all the emails that you've been sending these people? Within 30 minutes, he sent me an approval letter saying, I don't need, this is enough. And you approve for your mortgage. We had taken almost a month. And almost giving up. It is not dead until God says it's dead. Do not give up. I don't care how the blink the situation is. Do not give up. Because God says that I'm the resurrection and the life. And he's going to awake those dead dreams in the name of Jesus. He is our divine opportunity. He is the divine connection that we need. Praise the Lord. He is the one who is going to provide for us. He is the one who is going to heal us. He is Jehovah Rapha. Praise the Lord. He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. And the Lord Jehovah Sikenu, the Lord my righteousness. He is ready to reveal himself in those character. Huh? Heart in your heart? Somebody broke your heart? He's telling you, I'm Jehovah Rohi. Huh? I'm going to be Jehovah your healer. I know how to mend hearts. I'm a professional in mending up hearts, Sister Beatrice. You know, you've been so injured so much, but I'm telling you, I'm the divine connection that you need. I know how to knit up the hearts and fix up what needs to be fixed so that you'll be okay. You've gone without a job for too long a time. He's Jehovah, your provider. He is the divine connection you need in order to connect up with the connections that you need in order to get the provision that you need. He is our source. Stand on your feet right now. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is our divine connection. He is our divine connection, church. Right now, I don't know what you've been going through. When I was preparing this message, when the Lord put this message in my heart, I don't know whether I communicated it the way he wanted me to communicate it, and I don't know whether you got it the way he intended for you to get it. I'm not a professional, and many times I'm inadequate. But you know, when I look at the Bible, there are people who also doubted themselves, like Moses. When he is sent out to the children of Israel to deliver them, he says, Lord, you know, Lord. I'm a man slow of speech, so I cannot represent you. And God looked at that stammerer, and he went to deliver the children of Israel. Look at David, the things he did. We were told by Pastor Karanja last week, he took somebody's beehive, huh? And still God used him mightily. Have you done all those worst things that most people did? Probably not. But maybe you have a thing that you can point and say, this one, I need God to intervene. He is ready to intervene and reveal that particular character that will coincide with what you're going through. Are you listening to me? Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Hope in him. He will never disappoint you, in the name of Jesus. If you can wait long enough, if we can wait long enough and not give up, oh God, I wish somebody can hear this. If you can wait long enough and not give up, he is going to show up. And he's going to bring you, make everything beautiful. Turn your ashes into beauty in the name of Jesus. Father, We come before you, Lord. You know us more than we do. Father God, you travel through our hearts and our lives. There's no corner that you do not know. No weakness we have that you're not aware of. You do not need to learn any new thing about us, Lord. Father, we invite you in our circumstances, in our situations, whatever it is. The things of a heart nobody can know except the spirit of a man and God. I don't need to know what you're going through right now, church. But you know what you're going through, and God knows too. And what you need to do is just invite him to be a point of contact, as a divine appointment that you need, the divine connection that you need right now. In the name of Jesus, reach out to him right now. Reach out to him. Tell him, God, I'm surrender. I surrender, God. I surrender right now. I surrender to your will. I surrender to your purpose. I surrender to your help. I surrender to your counsel. I surrender to your ability. I surrender to your strength. I surrender, Lord. I cannot do anything by myself. Lord, I surrender this child, Lord. I surrender this marriage. I surrender my spouse. I surrender my career to you, Lord. I surrender my joblessness. I surrender my situation, God. You know it ins and outs, Lord. You know who I need to meet. You know who needs to be lined up on my way. Oh, God, may you bring them on my way. Because the moment I meet with them, then your character is going to be displayed in my situations, and it's gonna be okay. Hallelujah. Move, my God. Move by your spirit. Move by your power. Move by your spirit. Intervene in the families, oh God, that we have in this church. In the name of Jesus, we forgive those people who have spoken ill against us, oh God, because we are your children. We forgive them, Lord, and we love them the more in the name of Jesus. Father, we choose to take care of the burdens of each other, to love one another, my God, without any hypocrisy, in the name of Jesus. And it is going to be well with our souls. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, oh God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being there for each and every situation that we are all going through. Come through for us, dear Lord. We bless your name. If there be anybody in this house that has never given their lives to Jesus, and you want to say, God, I want to surrender my life. I want to give you this opportunity. Is there anybody? Lift up your hand and I'm going to pray with you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord, let this word bubble with life in our hearts today. And let us know that you are the divine connection. That when we go through trials and tribulations and situations, it's just a setup. It's just an opportunity that you're availing us for you to show up in our situation, and it's going to be well. I pray this, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Somebody who loves the Lord, say amen. Amen. Can you give Jesus a mighty hand clap offering?